I just want to mention two more points, and then we're going to move on to the rest of the Baal Shem Tov's life. The first is the idea of mitzvahs. If you had to say in one thought, what is the chiddush of Chassidus when it comes to mitzvahs? The chiddush is that mitzvahs are tzav sevachibur. Which means, in other words, that when a person does a mitzvah, the person for doing a mitzvah is not only to receive a schar, the purpose of doing a mitzvah is not only that there's going to be a fulfillment in the person, whether that fulfillment is material, that fulfillment is spiritual, but rather when a person does a mitzvah, he becomes connected to the Eibishter, which means that the pnimiyus of every mitzvah is the Eibishter himself. And like everything else that the Baal Shem Tov taught, that's the key. The key to the mitzvah is the measure to which a person is connecting through the mitzvah to the Eibishter. In other words, in Nikla terms, you would say it's the difference between doing a mitzvah lishma and mitzvah shalei lishma. In Pnimi Zikr terms, you would say, is the mitzvah for me, or is the mitzvah for my connection to the Eibishter? And accordingly, the kavana becomes very significant. What is the kavana that one invests in doing a mitzvah? In Chassidus, the kavana of the mitzvah has to do with doing it in a way that connects you to the Eibishter. And as a result, the muhus, the quality, the eichus of a mitzvah is considerably changed accordingly. In other words, what may look like a big mitzvah may turn out not to be such a big mitzvah. What may seem like a trivial or insignificant mitzvah may turn out to be a huge mitzvah. It depends on the Eibishter. You know, there's the famous story where the Baal Shem Tov wanted to teach his Talmidim what Avas Hashem is. So he sent them to a field, and they encountered a shepherd. And the shepherd was watching his sheep. And as the shepherd was watching his sheep, he suddenly got up and says, Eibishter, I love you. What should I do for you? I'll dance for you. So in the middle of the field, there was nobody around. And of course, he didn't know the Talmidim of Baal Shem Tov were watching him. He started to dance for the Eibishter, and he danced for the Eibishter until he pushed it, collapsed. No more koyach. A little while later, he says, Eibishter, I love you. What can I do for you? I'll sing for you. He started to sing, and he sang, and he sang, and he sang. He pushed it, no more koyach. And then a little while later, he says, Eibishter, I love you. What can I do for you? He took a coin out of his pocket, and he threw it up. And the Talmidim saw a hand take it. That I don't know. Now, the Gemara says about Churban Abayis, the Gemara says that the Kehanim Gedalim, the Pirkei Kehuna, went up on the roof of the Kehan Gadol, and they said to the Eibishter, you gave us the Shmid of the Beis HaMikdash, and we guarded it. Now you're taking it away from us. Here are the keys. And they threw the keys up, and a hand came and pushed it and took the keys. As they stayed in the Gemara. The point is, the chsidus of a mitzvah is the Eibishter in the mitzvah. It's not the reward for the mitzvah that we experience, b'gash mi'isa b'ruchnis. And there, of course, like everything else, there are so many stories that illustrate this idea. Chatzel nachdi ma'isa. There's a ma'isa with Helika Baditcheva. The Baditcheva came, Baditcheva was in shul. And it was sukkos. And he walked into the Beis Medrash. And instead of going to his place, Kedakim HaKadosh, he started to smell people's esregim. He went over to each person and smelled his esreg. And in the back of the shul, in the corner of the shul, was a yid. And when he sees the Baditcheva coming towards him, he starts to move away. The Baditcheva follows him and takes his esreg and smells him and says, oh, this is the esreg I'm looking for. And he says to this yid, from Matzibakum in the Mesir, where did this esreg come from? He says, what do you mean? Where did it come from? I bought it in the market. It's a cheap esreg. I paid 25 kopecks for the esreg. So the Baditcheva starts to press this yid until the yid tells him the ganze maise. The maise is that he had a custom that every year he would spend an enormous amount of money on an esrik, and he would save up money, 700 ruble, a whole year to buy himself a beautiful esrik. And on that year, on the way to picking up the esrik, he stopped off in a hotel in a little kretschme, and he comes into a kretschme, and there's a man sitting on a stool, one of those bar stools, crying. And he listens to this conversation. This person is sitting on the stool and he's saying to the bartender, to the owner of the kretschme, that his horse died and his family is going to starve. And he's lamenting it, you know, but in ganzen Sturm, his family is going to die. There's no food. How is he going to feed them? And this yid says to the bartender, how much does he need for a new horse? So he tells him how much money for a new horse, and it was exactly the amount of money he had put aside for an esek. So without thinking too much, he takes his whole bag of money, puts it down next to the yid, and he disappears. The yid is sitting there, oismensch, and then he finally sees that there's a bag of money. He opens it up and he sees that this is the exact money he needs for his horse. Trachter al yoh, another was sent by Atma Saint Saf Baruch and brought him money and gave nafed. So he gets very excited. He goes and he buys a horse. But now he has to thank the Eibishter for sending him a Yo and Navi. How do you thank the Eibishter for Yo and Navi? So he rides out into the horizon, into the distance. There's nobody around. And he was like a balagola. You know, what does balagolas do well? They whip a bullwhip. And with all of his kirchas, he swings the strap and he says, Rabbeinu Shel, this is not for dear. This is only for you. And upon him, that this act of this balagola swinging his kanchik affected that when this yid, who used to always have the nicest esrik, and when he came to Badichev, the whole city would come and look at him and admire his esrik. Now he's hiding in the corner because he has a 50-cent esrik, a cheap little esrik. But the reingebracht in the mesrik aruch von Ganed, brought into the esrik aruch of Ganed. The beauty of this story, it's a story of tzedakah, it's a story of mesiras nefesh. The beauty of the story is the fact that the person's The Gan Eden came into the Esrig because a Yid did something for the Eibishter. That's how we do mitzvahs. That's the essence of a mitzvah. And there's a famous story, I already told you the Maisa with the Baal Shem Tov and the Yid who was feeding, giving the Eibishter chalas and a heart on every Friday, and another person was eating it. From a Maisa mit Nachtrem Zachosid, which is brought in the Hatamim, called Rav Gavriel Neisechein. It's a long, long story. But it brings out the same point of that the ikir of a mitzvah is the tafsa v'chibit, the connection to the Eibishter. What's the story of real Neisachain? The story is that he was a gvir, he's a rich man. And he was a very prominent mishpacha, he knew a lot of Torah and so forth. And he became connected to Malkin Rebbe, became a chosid. His family remained misnagdim, some of them wrote shiva for him, some didn't sit shiva for him, he had all kinds of madregis, but he became the Malkin Rebbe as a chosid. And the Alter Rebbe used to raise money for different causes, for different tzedakas. And the seder of the Alter Rebbe was, and he was something around the Shadar, a Shliach, who would collect the monies for tzedakah. But he wouldn't tell the Shliach, come to a town and ask people for money. He would say, come to a town and tell this person to give kach v'kach, so many ruble. Tell this person to give kach v'kach, and so forth. And the real Neisachain always used to give a substantial amount of money, whatever it was. When he became a chassid, the misnagdim made a boycott against him. They stopped buying by him. And in a few years, he pashut went bankrupt. Gonish gahat. Derweil the shliach comes and claims the Alter Rebbe did not know that this person went bankrupt. And the shliach comes to Gavriel Neisachain and he asks him for this certain amount of money which Alter Rebbe had prescribed. And he didn't have the money. So he's very broken. And he came to his wife, and he told his wife the story that the Alter Rebbe wants so many ruble, like he always asks. He doesn't have. He cannot tell the shliach, no. What should he do? So without thinking, she takes her leichter, she pawns them, she gets money in the exact amount, and she says to her husband, take the money to the Alter Rebbe right away. The shliach is going to be in town for a few days. So we're going to have a nesoyer. Could be over the next few days, we'll lose our nerve and keep the money for ourselves. So before I can change my mind and you could lose your heart, run right away to Alter Rebbe, bring him the money right away. In other words, don't wait for the Shadar to take the money, go right away. What her husband did not know was that before she gave him the coins, she polished them. She took the gold coins and she polished them, she scrubbed them, they should mamish gleam, they should shine. Anyway, he came to Alter Rebbe and he came into the Alter Rebbe and he put the Alter Rebbe's money on the table. Alter Rebbe picked up the coins and he opened it up. He saw the coins and he said to Rabbi Gavriel Neisachain, where did you get these matbeis from? Where did they come from? So Rabbi Gavriel Neisachain told them that Alter Rebbe's chassidim would never have ever shared their gashmis, the kamayim, the matzav with the Alter Rebbe. By chassidim, the seder was, you come to Rebbe for ruchni, you come to seder for gashmis. Person loses his job, he doesn't run to his Rebbe. Person has a hidden aveda, he runs to his Rebbe. So chassidim were not into telling the Rebbe what's going on b'gashmis. But now that the Alter Rebbe asked him, he pushed it broke down. He told the Alter Rebbe the truth. And the Alter Rebbe said that the Kiyar was built with the Maris HaTzevet. The Kiyar was built with copper mirrors. And basically, we all know that the Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want. And the Eibishter said that Dafke, this was Maimit Klal Yisrael. And he gave him unbelievable brachas. Unbelievable brachas. This year, he got every brach from Alter Rebbe. Teiru Gdula. Him and his wife together lived 110 years. 110 years. Today, 110 years is an extraordinary long time. Then 110 years means like, you know, like going around twice, you know. And they had Alab, they had Torah, they had Gedula, the essence of the story is the Mesiras Nefesh of the Maise. It's true, the Mesiras Nefesh. But a significant aspect of the story is the idea that this woman understood that when you do something for the Eibishter, it has to be for the Eibishter. And you express it's for the Eibishter in making it perfect. And by the Baal Shem Tov, when you want to understand what is mitzvah, al pichsidus, again, the nekuda is when you're doing a mitzvah, it's tzav sedachim ha-makadosh baruch hu, the idea of doing a mitzvah is to become connected to the Eibishter. That's the kavanah of the mitzvah. And the spirit of the mitzvah that it's for the Eibishter's vegan. You're doing it for the Eibishter, you're not doing it for yourself. This is actually the explanation from Miftsoyim. When the Rebbe introduced the idea of Miftsoyim, where the focus is on an individual act, you meet a person, you do a mitzvah, you're never going to see them again. And the Velt Tainet, that it's a complete waste of time. If you want to be makarav a person, do something useful and constructive rather than do a mitzvah, like tefillin or whatever the case is. And the whole yisod of Miftsoyim is this idea that anytime you do a mitzvah, even if it's a single mitzvah, you connect the year to the Eibishter. And the effect of this connection is exponential. You know, mitzvah, gereres, mitzvah. I've told you many times the story how the Friedrich Rebbe picked out from a pile of letters which ones were legitimate and which ones were not. And when Hasidim accused him of being about Ruach HaKedesh, he said it's not Ruach HaKedesh, it's a simple thing. He says, Ayid is getlachkeit. Adav Hashem Begdusha is getlachkeit. Getlachkeit is getlachkeit tzitzach. In other words, a yid has a spark of Kedusha, a holy piece of paper has a spark of Kedusha, and when he picked it up and he felt a connection, he knew it was Kedush. If he didn't feel a connection, he knew it was Chayil. Now you know and I know that we don't have that experience when we pick up pieces of paper, but the idea is that a mitzvah is a connection, a tafsa. And when you go on Miftsoyim and you meet a yid and you do a mitzvah, you've given them a connection to the Eibishter, even if psychologically and consciously you don't see the effect. It's a very, very real thing. And Sof Kol Sof, it bears fruit. I just want to mention, as I move to the next point, that there's a very, very interesting idea. And that is, it says in Shivchei HaBaal Shem Tov, that the Baal Shem Tov said that all of the Hasagis, all of the Ruch Nizdika Madregas that he reached, Baal Shem Tov was a Gvaldike Baal Madregas, Baal Shem Tov reached very high levels. And the Baal Shem Tov said of himself, all of the Ruch Nizdika Madregas that he reached because of Roiv Tvilis. The Baal Shem Tov used to go to Mikvah Gvald, a lot. And we have Kavonos HaMikvah from Baal Shem Tov. So he was constantly going to Mikvah. And the Baal Shem Tov said that all of the Madregas that he reached from going to the Mikvah a lot, Roiv Tvilis. And of course we all know the story, Baal Shem Tov used to go to the Mikvah in the middle of the night, in the middle of the winter, and he used to always light candles, and when the candles went out, he broke off icicles and put the candles in the snow, and the icicles also burned Kiyuduma force. The Arizal, it says, that all of the Asagas of the Arizal came from Simcha Shel Mitzvah, doing Mitzvah Tech Simcha. What is interesting, to me at least, is that the Chabad Rabbeim were not into Reiv Tvilis. You know, you have many Hasidus, and you go to the Mikveh, I mean, there are people, you probably don't see it much in Kanaif, but people go to the mikvah and they tevel 310 times, 600. How do you tevel 310 times? You go under the water and you do this. The joke goes that Rebbe once went to the mikvah. So the Bacham, of course, ran out of the mikvah, but they stood behind the wall. They wanted to hear how many times the Rebbe tevel. But they listened to the number of tevelis. When the Rebbe walked out, the Rebbe turned to them and said, maybe I put my finger up a few times. Like, how do you know how many times I tevel? But the Chabad Rebbe were not into this. In fact, the Friedrich Rebbe asked the Rebbe Nishma Zayden, about toiveling out of Yom Kippur. And the Rebbe Rashab said, Al tihi tzadik harbe, don't be too frum. Mirzuchanish kein panosa, we're not into schoolers. By Chabad, the Rabbi, if there was a Zoyat Fei, it was takadim from Simcha. It's interesting. Chassidus comes from the Baal Shem Tov. Nevertheless, there are common yonim by us in Chabad which are more similar to the Arizal than even the Baal Shem Tov. I think this is one of them. And by the Baal Shem Tov, the Ruchnis have to do with mikveh. And by Chassidus, the Ruchnis has to do with Simcha. So I just want to conclude this series of conversations by talking about the need for Simcha. We have one page, one letter, B'Ksavyat Kotchev in the Baal Shem Tov. There is one extant piece of paper, one known sheet of paper written in Baal Shem Tov's own handwriting. And that one sheet of paper is in the Rebbe's library. The Friedrich Rebbe bought it in the 1930s. The Rebbe has it, and in the beginning of the various Sfarad, they'll print a facsimile of this page. I think in Atomim yet. In the 30s, they printed a copy of this page, of the Ksavyat Kotchev in the Baal Shem Tov. That page is a letter the Baal Shem Tov wrote to the Toldos Yaakov Yosef. And it appears, b'shinuyim, with small changes in the Sefer Shivchei Baal Shem Tov. What's the toichen of this letter? The toichen of this letter is that the Baal Shem Tov writes to the Toldos Yaakov Yosef that he has to stop fasting, and he has to stop being misagif his goof, he has to stop punishing his body, and he has to start serving the Ebishim Etech Simcha. The Baal Shem Tov's obsession, Baal Shem Tov's preoccupation with Lebedik, with Freilich. The Baal Shem Tov said the way to defeat the Yitzhahara is with Simcha. The Baal Shem Tov said the way to be humble is with Simcha. The way to open yourself with Ruach HaKodesh is with Simcha. And the opposite of Simcha takes away all of these possibilities. And on top of that, the Baal Shem Tov believed that the worst Aveda in a Ruchnidik sense is Atzlus. When a person is sad, even if the sadness comes from a yonim of Lo'i Toiv, even if the sadness comes from Avedis, it's also a terribly destructive thing. A person has to always be besimcha. And you see this in the Rebbe's letters all the time. There was a very famous Lubavitcher chassid, whose name was Zalmameshi Yitzchaki. He was a really great chassid. And I think I read in his name that it's better for a person to be besimcha from Gashmias than to be ba'atzus from Ruchnias. In other words, as an Oved Elokim, you're better off being joyous about your Gashmiyazdika life than being depressed about your Ruchniyazdika life. The whole point is Ruchniyaz, and this is Gashmiyaz. The answer is, joy of Gashmiyaz may bring you to Ruchniyaz. Depression is a dead end. It's going to bring you no place. And by Chassidim, this Inyan of Simcha was B'ligavul. And I'll tell you a few stories on Simcha. The first story I heard from Reb Mendel Futterfass in the Fabrengen. Reb Mendel Futterfass was a bocher. And for a little while, Taim Chetzmimim was in Neville. Azei Vaistois, the city of Neville. Neville, as you all know, the Mittler Rebbe said about Neville, Haluba Neville. Neville was Zoch Siddi Shishtot. You know, in the Chabad culture, there was Neville and there was Kremenchuk, you know. One city was famous for its great kep, its big maskilim, who knew a lot of chassidus. And the other one was famous for its hearts. Neville chassidim were famous for their passion, for their hearts. Not that Neville Chassidim were not smart, but Neville Chassidim were known for hearts. I heard once that if you would come to Kremenchuk, a chassid would ask, what kind of maimorim the Rebbe is saying? If you would come to Neville, the Chassidim would ask, how was the Rebbe feeling? Just gives you an idea, two communities. Was macht der Rebbe? So in Neville, there was an old chassid by the name of Reb Shlomo der Geller. I mean, Avraham Fried, there's a niggin that he sings on his record, which supposedly Shlomo der Geller's niggin. Reb Shlomo der Geller was a chassid from Marash. There's a description from Friedrich and Reb Harab Shlomo der Geller was dancing by a chassane. Apparently he knew how to dance. Shlomo der Geller was a very chassidish yid. He was a malamid. The most chassidish yidin always were the malamdim. And of course, the Gashmis, they suffered the most. But Shlomo der Geller had a miserable life. His wife was pashat not normal. Mishkel Nermalu. And as a consequence, his children were not exactly even mizukt. 90%, 85%, 80%. But he was a flumfarded chassid. So the Bachrim came to him, the Bachrim from Neville came to Shlomo der Geller and asked him to fabreng for them. So if I'm not mistaken, he's told the way he described the story, they came to the house and he opened the door, a shoe hit one of the Bachrim in the head. A mental house, unfortunately. And the Bachrim asked him if he'll come fabreng. So he says, he'll come in a little bit, he has to take care of some business. And if he come in fabreng, he sat down by the fabrengen. And he was fatracht, he was brooding, you know, he had a lot to brood about. And after thinking for a few minutes, he says to himself, rhetorically, Vos, Willst mir da reinwerfen in Marosh Chede? He tells himself, what? You want to put me into a bad mood? And he gets up from his seat. He starts to sing and dance. And he sang and danced a whole night. That was the whole Fabrengen. He didn't say another word. The whole Fabrengen was dancing to overcome the Marosh Chede. Rav Shlomo de Gelo was a Moirinik Bal Yisurim. Nisha Kleine Bal Yisurim. Agroisa Bal Yisurim. But this is, you know, what we call in the olden days the Chassidish Chinuch, the idea that the way you defeat the challenges of life, including the real challenges of life, are through Avodah of Simcha. And by Chassid, this was Mitam Aseiras Nefesh Mamish. And I will tell you, talk a story about Reb Mendel Futifas himself. Reb Mendel was in Golis, right? He was in Siberia for many, many years. And he wasn't hanging around with Chassidish Yidden. He was surrounded by brutes. He was surrounded by the lowest element of human being he was surrounded by. And that's how he lived. And there's a lot of very cute stories about Reb Mendel when he was in jail that are really, really worth telling. But one of the stories, Reb Mendel wanted to always go to mikveh. But you couldn't go to mikveh. I mean, we can find the mikveh as a dutton. So whenever he had a chance, he would find up some river, to get in the mikveh. I read a story once that they were loading logs onto a ship. And the most dangerous job of all was the person, when the logs came up with the crane, you had to position them on the boat. That Reb Mendel was a very, very strong man. But compared to the Russian brutes he was in jail with, he was a tiny little fellow. And they respected him, so they always gave him easy jobs. When it came to loading the logs onto the ship, he volunteers to do the most dangerous job. He's going to stand on the ship, and as the crane is pulling up the logs, he's going to position them. And the guys told him, you're crazy, you can get killed. He says, no, I want to do it. Anyway, the first log comes up onto the ship, gives it a mental azet, he falls off the ship into the water. Finished. And he laughs. So he tells the story by Vabregin, and someone says to him, what is so funny? He says, was verstehst du nicht, sechs Chadoshim nicht gewähne mikveh. I haven't been in mikveh 6 months. So the story goes that Mendel went to the mikveh once in the river, and when he came out of the mikveh, the gazem, the pasha took him in the clay, then his clothing were gone. And it's not exactly Brooklyn, it's Siberia. So he's walking back to the camp, you know, the way God created him. How little can a human being possess? It's a broch. Shattered. That there's an old maimer that says when things cannot get worse, they have to get better. So now he's singing also. The end of the story is he came into the camp and he was told that day that he could go home. That day they let him go home. But there's another story with Reb Mendel which is much more poignant, much more bittersweet. About this idea that by Chassidim Simcha was such a yesod. Reb Mendel had many children. But most of his children died in infancy. I think his children had a genetic disease. I heard from Chaim Sarabransky, who told me once that he was going with him to the hospital where one of his children was laying dying, and Reb Mendel was very, very broke. And Reb Mendel says, what schus do I have that I should be able to help my children survive? And he says, I have one schus, I never left Chassidish in Fabrengen. He lost a lot of children. By the time he came out of Russia, he was survived by two, a son and a daughter. His son was Zangezut Shtark Battle for Tefas, now lives in Crown Heights. And his daughter was Rebbetzin Libedov, Mrs. Libedov. And it's a whole long story how the Rebbe called him. He was in Australia, the Rebbe called him. And the Rebbe told him that he wants him to become a Mashpi in Kfar Chabad, and he didn't want. So the Rebbe told him, when Shlomo Chaim passed away, the Rebbe told him, you go to Eretz Yisrael, go to the Mekomes HaKadosh, visit all the holy sites. Ois bet Allah gute Sachen, ask Hashem for all good things, and then you'll come back mitzvah. Anyway, he went to Israel with Mekomes HaKadosh. He couldn't understand what the Rebbe means. Ois bet Allah gute Sachen. He came back. What happened was a car accident. His entire family, his son-in-law and his daughter, and I think 9 children were in a car, and the car flipped over. She lost her life. Mrs. Lieber lost her life. But all the other people survived. And it wasn't a ness. It was l'mailim and atev l'gamri. He understood afterwards what the Rebbe meant when he said, ois bet na'la gutazach. But he was shattered. But Mendel was a hard skirit. Mendel was a very emotional man. He was a very chassidish yid. But he was very much a human being. So I heard that by his daughter's levaya, he was crying. I mean, how could he not cry? And then, he stopped. And he says to himself, Mendel, the farthest they learned to Tem Chetmimim? Is this why you learned to Tem Chetmimim? And he stopped crying. But there's a Hemshech HaSipa that not everybody knows, which I find very powerful. Powerful, powerful, powerful. They came to the Rebbe for Tishrei. Must have been Lamed Bey. And the Rebbe in Futafas was so devastated. How many tzaddas can a human being endure in one lifetime? Her husband was gone for so many and so many years. She buried most of her children. She finally comes al Mnucha v'al Nachla, and her daughter is killed, and she's left with 9 Yesemim. Some of them were very little. I mean, they're my friends, some of them. And this happened 40 years ago. They were kids. They were 6, 7, 8. They're very young. Anyway, so she was very depressed. And she and he were in the Rebbe's room in Yechidus. Now there was a cloud by the Rebbe, which was known, as they did tell them, that the Rebbe was very, very aware of the fact that people want to hear everything he says. Now 770's walls are 80 years old, which means to say that they're very insulated. You know, some of these walls are literally built with bricks of plaster. They're very well insulated. And when the Rebbe raises his voice, you could hear him in the Zal. So people knew that if the Rebbe raises his voice, then you're allowed to listen. Because the Rebbe knew that people are listening. And they just give us namo. And the Bachrim were sitting in Zal and heard the Rebbe arguing with Mrs. Futafas. It was an argument. The Rebbe says to you, you have to stop being batzos. You have to be besimcha. It's Yom Tif. You're disturbing the Vesamachta b'chagach. So she said to the Rebbe, how can I be besimcha? And the Rebbe said to her, the Eibish, the Gehazim, the Zayim besimcha, the Zayim besimcha. Now when you hear the story, when you listen to the story sounds almost insensitive, almost cruel. A person suffered such a loss, such a short time before. Empathize, understand, be sensitive, feel. The Rebbe says, no, the Zayim besimcha. What you have to understand, as a Yesod in Chassidus, and in Hashkafas HaChassidus, Simcha is not being dishonest about the Tzorah. Simcha is the koyach to overcome the Tzorah. To say it in other words, there's pleasure, yeah? When do people have pleasure? When they do things that give them pleasure. There's happiness. I'm not sure exactly what happiness is. But then there is joy. Simcha is not something you have because you have good things in your life. It's exactly the other way around. Simcha is what you feel so that you will have a good thing in your life. Simcha is not the result of life, it's the cause for life. Or to say it in different words, simcha is the natural state of the neshama. The guf of the nefesh ha-bahamis is depressed. The neshama is besimcha. Chassidus says, allow the neshama's tendency of simcha to emerge so that you can have the power that the neshama gives to be able to serve the Eibish Demetech Simcha. And by all the Rabbeim, the obsession with simcha was unashir. Van alang arichas mit mitle Rebbe, a long story, with the mitle Rebbe saw Baruch Kotcher that something terrible was going to happen to his son, Reb Nochem. So he told the Chassidim to be besimcha. And he stood in simcha. Then his son fell off his horse, he was almost dead. And they came running to the mitle Rebbe, your son fell off his horse, they go, noch simcha, noch simcha. Until his son recovered, and the mitle Rebbe explained later, I saw there was going to be a sakana on my son, and I decided to destroy that sakana with simcha, and he was successful to do it. I'll just finish this thought by telling you something very powerful. It is known the Rebbe has indicated, I think the Rebbe said so, that somebody once asked the Rebbe, how come by the Friedrich Rebbe they used to sing always very melancholy, very sad nagunim, very pensive nagunim, very meditative nagunim. And by the Rebbe, they sing only Freilich in the Gunim. I don't know if you guys know this, the Rebbetzin actually once called up, and the Rebbetzin said that they shouldn't sing any more slow in the Gunim by Farengen, because the Rebbe Pashit cries. When they used to sing, in the olden days, they used to sing all these melancholy Gunim, the Rebbe used to Pashit cry. And you could see it. I mean, if I remember this, the Rebbe would put his hand in his pocket, take out his kerchief, and wipe his eyes, Pashit emotional. So the Rebbetzin asked that they should sing Freilich in the Gunim. And then, I mean, I was growing up, Ruba Duruba, they sang Freilich HaNegunim. So I heard that somebody once asked the Rebbe, how come I'm freeding Rebbe at Megizunga and Azel HaNegunim? And by him they sing Freilich HaNegunim. So the Rebbe said, the Rebbe Deshfer was Batav Amor Alavonim. He's a happy person by nature. So he sang more melancholy Negunim to be Miyashiv himself. He says, I am Batav Amor Ashkhera. I am a melancholy person by nature. And I need to have the Freilich HaNegunim to pick me up. Uf Tzahib. The Rebbe I just heard Nishlag himself mention it. That the Nissen Nemenov came to the Rebbe Tovshin Tzvov the first time, 1955 for Tishrei. And when he came back to France, what was the message he brought back? The Rebbe said, Daftan Alt Mitech Simcha. What is the Rebbe's message to the world? If you want to succeed in life, you have to do everything with Tafrei Lachayt. Ta Simcha, Ta Chayit, Ta Energi. The Rebbe himself, by nature, was not a Sameach Dika person, but his entire public image revolved around the idea that everything has been done with Ta Simcha and Chayit. So I'm going to finish by sharing with you a very interesting word. There was a Yid in Crown Heights whose name was Mr. Steinmetz, Svi Yuil, Rabbi Steinmetz. Mr. Steinmetz made one great mistake in his life, and that is that he had no sons. He had only three daughters, so nobody even knows who he is, yeah? But I'll tell you who his grandsons are, you'll understand right away who Mr. Steinmetz was. One of his grandsons is Bet Elazar, another one of his grandsons is Yanki Tauber, another one of his grandsons is Shlomo Yaffe. He was a brilliant man. And one of the many things he did was he wrote shirim, he wrote poetry. He was in real estate, he was a very cute Jew. Interesting man. He was not the kind of guy who went to sleep at night and woke up in the morning. He had 24 hours in a day. You know, he took naps, but he was in the middle of the night, it was by him the middle of the day. He wasn't the kind of person who got into pajamas and went to sleep. Very intelligent. Anyway, the Rebbe told him to write poetry. He had written poetry before the war. He stopped writing poetry. The Rebbe told him he must continue. So he used to write all kinds of poems. In Israel, in a lot of the firm schools, they use his poems, because the government officially recognizes them as legitimate poetry. And one of the poems that he wrote many poems, but one of them was about the Rebbe. For Shnas HaShmoyne, for the Rebbe's 80th birthday, he wrote a poem and gave it to the Rebbe as a maton. And in the Sfarim, those poems are published. The Misnagdim have to already be careful which poems they have to skip, because Chas V'Shalom. So one of the poems he written for Shnas HaShmoyne, Yanki Tabra and I were once in yeshiva together, he showed me this poem, that it's a series of contrasts. Hafchim, opposites. The Rebbe, his head is in the cloud, so his feet are planted firmly on the ground. You know what I'm saying? These kinds of things. The Rebbe is so far away, yet he's so close. So one of the contrasts that they had in this poem was, all of the tzaddis in the world, all the tzaddis in the world come to him, al mayon abina, to the fountain of understanding, al kain, Mayan Simchose Lo Yechazeh, those are the words, which means his resource, his reservoir of joy is inexhaustible, indefatigable, it will never finish. So how this happened exactly, I don't know, but the Rebbe read the poem, and the Rebbe got to this line where he wrote that the Rebbe's Simcha will never be exhausted, and the Rebbe looked up and he said one word, Halavai. It ain't easy, you know, but by Chassidim we know that the basis for a successful life, and especially a successful life in terms of Avedas Hashem, is Tuvin Debidim Tech Simcha.